Our scripture reading today continues the story of the patriarchs. We had stories about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah. And last week was the story of Jacob and Esau and how they were twins and how Jacob cheated Esau, or cheated Esau out of his blood, his birthright and blessing. And so today continues the story. Last week, Jacob ran away to go to Laban. And today is a story about his time there with Laban. So our Holy Scripture, Genesis 29, beginning with verse 15. Glory to you, O Lord. So Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? What then shall your wages be?" Now, Laban had two daughters. The eldest was Leah. The younger was called Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely. Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel. So he said to Laban, "Let me work 7 years. Let me serve you for 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served Laban for 7 years, but they were like days to him because of his love for Rachel. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife so that I may go into her, for I have completed my time." So Laban gathered the people of that place and made a great feast. But when evening came, he took Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Now, Laban had given his maid Zilpah to Leah as a handmaid. When morning came, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What have you done to me? Did I not serve you for your daughter Rachel? Why have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "This is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week with this one, and I will give you the other one if you will in return for serving another 7 years for me." So Jacob completed his week with Leah, and Laban gave him Rachel also as a wife. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This time I'd like to invite the children out for Word for Children. I'm going to get my notes here because it's a great title. It's a familiar book. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Isn't that great? So Cassie Bishop's going to be reading out there, if you'll head on out. Go on out. Out in the comfy chairs. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Back when I was working as an engineer, that's a long time ago now, I was in charge of a kind of a little research lab. I'm not going to go. But basically, we had they carved out a little section out of one of the storage rooms, and I was back there with a couple of employees. And as we started moving into production, we needed to expand the lab and separate it and put in some special ventilation and really get it set up right. And so I had to have a conversation with the head of operations. And his name was Jim. And how to describe him? King Jim wouldn't be a bad description. You know, there's some people that just are very forceful and powerful, intimidating. They speak very loudly. And I was scared to death. And, of course, I wasn't the only one. The reason I knew he was like that is because I'd heard stories about how he treated other people. But it's very clear to me that the way that he succeeded in life was to really assert himself, speak powerfully, to kind of power his way through. I mean, you could maybe call it a bully, but just a very strong way of living life. And it kind of worked for him. I mean, he had risen up to the top of the company, and it served him well in that capacity. You might know somebody like that. You may not. But different people have different ways that they kind of navigate life. There are some people that kind of, whenever they're confronted with something, they just try to disappear, cause conflict. That's a different way. It's kind of the fight or flight thing. Some people, boy, if there's a chance to get into the fray, they jump right in. I would assert to you that we each have our particular ways that we kind of deal with life. When there's a conflict or something that needs to happen, there's kind of certain ways that we go about doing it. Well, today's story is about a way that about a man who had a particular way of doing life. We're talking about Jacob. And in the story today, he gets tricked by Laban. And if this is the first time you've heard this story, it should occur as really unfair. I mean, could you imagine serving 7 years with a binding contract that this is going to be your reward, and then finding out at the last second, oh, guess what? You're in for another 7 years to actually achieve what you wanted. And so it may seem really unfair, but on the other hand, it just seems so appropriate. Because Jacob, again, he was born as a twin with Esau. There was one day when Esau came in, he was famished, and Jacob had this great stew he was making. And so he said, yeah, I'll give you some stew if you'll give me your birthright. It's like, okay. And then later on, when their father was about to die, and let's see, that was Isaac. And Isaac was going to bless Esau, give him the firstborn blessing. That's the whole story about how Rebekah hears that and tells Jacob, okay, go and put fur on your arms and cook up this stew like Esau would, and go in there and basically pretend to be Esau and trick your father into getting his blessing. And so he did. And so Jacob, I don't know if it actually means it, but it sure seems synonymous for trickster. Somebody that's trying to be clever, trying to figure out how to get what you want by cheating or fooling someone else into getting it. It seems pretty clear this is how he went through life. And it just seems so appropriate then that this trickster, of course, ends up getting tricked. And I think more often than not, that's kind of how life works. It's the way you go through life actually creates the kind of life that you have and experience. I'm just going to let that sink. Kind of a hypothesis or assertion. I mean, just imagine the guy I was talking about in this gym. He's used to going in and battling and forcing his way into things. So guess what he tends to get? He tends to get a lot of people that are forcing, that he gets in battles with. Other people kind of live life very timidly, afraid of everything. And so they're constantly on alert for what kind of fear might, or things that might be out there to attack them. Guess what? Their life is full of fear. It's a challenge because we all have our various ways that we do things. And there's things that work about them, but there's also things that really get in the way. I mean, for myself, it seems like I am prone to try to keep people happy. It's like, let's just kind of resolve things here. Nah, you know, I'm not going to try to force you or coerce you to do anything. Let's just all try to get along. And it's been my, you might say, my constant companion for most of my life. And it's worked pretty well. But then there's times when it gets in the way, like when I was going to have that meeting with Jim. He's not one. It's like, well, let's kind of sort this out. What do you want? I kind of said, well, in the meeting, I said, this is what I need, and this is what I need. He's like, you don't need that. I'll just do this, this, and this, and this. And boy, right in my face was my way of being. That, you know, just like, oh no. Oh no. If I do what I normally do, then it's the lab is just not going to work. And so somehow I rose above that fear, that normal way of doing things, and I just stepped up and I said, nope, it's got to be this way. You know, it has to be this because of this. This has to be this way. Yeah, well, you said about that. That won't work because of this. And it was pretty amazing. He backed off. After the meeting, I was just trembling. Because that's not how I do things. It's not how I do things. And so that we all have these ways of being. And even in today's story, you know, I was talking about Jacob. His way of being was being clever and tricking people into getting what he wanted. But there was something also that was at work. It says a couple of times how he loved Rachel. He loved Rachel. And so even with all his tricking, the fact is he did serve 7 years and then another 7 years. So even he with his tricky, I mean, in general, I don't want to encourage you to be a sly person that's kind of trying to trick and cheat people. I really don't. And so it's hard when we have somebody in the Bible that seems to be lifted up as, you know, somebody, he ends up getting the name Israel. The name of Israel is named after this trickster. Yet it is so comforting to know that God will use whoever we are and whatever way we tend to do things to still be about what God is up to. And so if you're a trickster, I would invite you to be a trickster who also loves. If you're someone who is timid and scared, I invite you to be someone who also loves. If you're like me and you're a people pleaser and you want to keep everybody happy, I would invite you to do that, but also love. And the love I'm talking about is not this kind of, oh, let's all feel nice, that, oh, I'm so in love. But it's the love that Jesus modeled. The assertive love, where he waded into the midst of things, cast out demons for the sake of love, where he went and talked to a Samaritan woman that you're not supposed to in order so that she might know who the Messiah was and could then become an evangelist to the Samaritans. It's someone who, when the Pharisees were all around scrutinizing exactly what he was doing, he dared to give sight to a blind man even though it was a Sabbath. Assertive love that stood for God's grace, God's love, that also stood for justice. And so, yeah, in my story, this people pleaser, I had, in that case, I had to stand for the integrity of the lab and the work that we were doing. And that gave me the courage then to step out. Whatever your way of being is, I invite you to add love to that equation. And so if you are one of these people that dominates, that goes in and has to speak more than anybody else, through love, it gives you the ability to recognize that and sit back and listen. And if you're a person that tends to not speak up and be shy, through love, you can have the courage to speak out and raise your voice for the sake of those who have no voice. If you're a trickster, it gives you the ability to recognize that it really works to be, well, what love looks like is caring about the other person. And all of a sudden, when you're looking out for the other person's well-being, it just gets a lot harder to trick them and cheat them, doesn't it? And if you're a person that lies, that bends the truth, that kind of hangs out in the edge of honesty, love can give you the ability to take a stand for that which is true, to risk the consequences that come when you own up to things that you've done that are wrong, and to build a life of integrity. Whatever your way of being, God, through love, can can give you that ability. And it can bring us out of our trickster, our cheating, our running away, our fighting, our lying, our people-pleasing, our whatever it is that we've used to have work for us. God can use that and can give us the ability then to do what needs to be done in the sake of love. Because the commandment is not to win. It's not to get your way. It's not to beat out others. It's not to play it safe your whole life. It's not to hide away. It's not to make the most money. None of those are the commandment that God gives us. God gives us a commandment to love. When we take that seriously, we get challenged in all areas of our life. But when we take it seriously, God's Spirit is at work within us. Amen.